It's like, but that's not, wasn't my goal. I never said it was my goal. Well, I mean, who cares? If it wasn't your goal, it should have been your goal. That's stupid.
If it's not his goal, they should fire him today. If it's not his goal. The truth is, it's obviously his goal.
So why would he say that?
Because he's a PR imbecile. he is a thin-skinned, overly sensitive guy in a league where you can't be a thin-skinned, overly sensitive guy. Don't tell me what I'm supposed to appreciate.
Yeah.
When I know what we should be doing.
You can't do it at this level. I've said that about him. I think that his level of self-destruction, I worry about him just looking at him.
Tony, if he doesn't walk away at the end, I'm serious. I really believe that his ultimate demise here, whenever it comes about, it won't be about recruiting.
Nope.
It won't be about what staff he's put together. It won't be about what kind of tactician he is. It'll be about he doesn't have the emotional makeup to be an SEC football coach, an upper tier SEC football coach.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. I say let's celebrate another day of living, another day of life. Our volunteers could be heading to the Sugar Bowl. There's a silver lining here, and avoid having to play Alabama. That's if you want to look at the glass half full. Obviously, tonight the glass is kind of a little bit empty because we really wanted to go to Atlanta. This was our year. Let's get the next call in. Hello and welcome on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction.
Guys, hey, it's MP Lloyd.
Hey, MP, welcome in, brother.
Hey, during this election season, we heard the hashtags. You heard the Never Trump, Never Hillary. I got one for this program.
All right, what's that?
Never Atlanta.
Interesting.
Because
we open the season in Atlanta next year, Lloyd. Just keep that in mind.
we might need to get some social justice warriors to march on that. Hey, listen, guys. As I told you last week, I'm going to really try to enjoy each win. I actually think we have the perfect fit for our football program, and I'll tell you why. I don't think he's ever going to be worse than like an 8-game winner. And that's all we aspire for. It's fool's discussion to act like we care at a level of even Arkansas. We don't want to win. We want revenue. And the leadership's been so bad since Joe Johnson walked out of here that I know you hear me say this a bunch, but I'm going to keep saying it, that this university, this athletic department is not set up to win championships. Just look all across the
we're not winning in anything.
The all sports. We don't win in anything.
Not winning in anything. In fact, not even coming close to winning in anything.
Yeah.
In fact, under Dave Hart's leadership, the Lady Vols have been, not only have they been dismissed, they've been devalued. They suck now compared to what they used to be. I hate to say that, but it's true. This basketball coach he hired isn't even trying. His football coach desperately needs help, and there's nobody there to give it to him. And I'm not even sure, Bino, are we fielding a baseball team? I'm wearing my baseball jersey tonight. Are we planning on building a fielding a baseball team?
Yes, we are planning on fielding one.
Tom. Okay.
They will play a schedule.
Very good. Well, I feel better now.
So, I mean, bad as it sounds,
looking forward, MP, Tony, and you know more about the, you and Russell both know more about the inner workings of this than I do. The talk of the super trustees, the new remade board of trustees, and the opportunity to bring an athletic director in here that this place will mean more than a paycheck to. Do you see that as a possible turning point in what we've gone through here across the board in sports?
Bino, that's the only thing that I'm clinging to right now, is that people like Peyton Manning, you know, who it means something to at a visceral level. It's not just about dollars and cents. David Blackburn, who's obviously a Tennessee guy through and through and wants to win the way a fan wants to win. That, you know, if Peyton can get, you know, more involved at whatever level he chooses to be involved at, I don't think he's going to be a coach or an administrator or anything, but obviously he's got some time on his hands and some influence. And if David Blackburn is installed as the athletics director, then I think that is huge for the future of Tennessee athletics across the board. I think that that has to give fans a lot of hope, quite frankly.
And MP, I'm with Russell here. I see an opportunity finally for a change, because I really believe the heart of our problems have been above the football program. They've been in the president's office. Yep. They've been at the trustee level, and they've been, we don't have that coronation coach up there, but we've got a coronation guy that can come in above a coach, and that's Peyton.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my thoughts, is the only way that Tennessee football will ever regain championship level form is Manning has to get involved in some capacity. But this is the same outfit that allowed a Title IX investigation to keep going to the point where he was mentioned in it for something that happened in 1994. And, you know, this is a train wreck, guys. This university, the athletic department is so poorly ran. There's zero checks and balances. And, you know, they're getting ready to dump $120 million in Neyland Stadium.
Yep.
They won't pay for coaches. We know it. And best case scenario, if Blackburn comes in here, unless there's a major shakeup above him, you know, is he going to have the resources and the latitude and the permission, so to speak, to do what he needs to do?
Well,
and then I think too, you know, because they go Dollar Tree on every hire, you know, outside of Johnny Majors, who was an alum, favorite son, and then, you know, on the paper, the whole Rick Barnes thing, but that was a bait and switch. You can't name a coach that they've hired that was proven at the high level D1 level. So I just think that, you know, people coming in and expecting a championship or even getting to Atlanta, it's never going to happen, guys.
Well, you say never going to happen. It should have happened this year. What do you mean it's never going to happen? It should have happened this year.
It's going to happen again.
I mean, come on. That South Carolina game was like seeing Halley's Comet, guys. Come on. You've never seen anything that bizarre.
All right, man. Let me listen. It happens every year. In 5 years, and I don't think you have to wait that long, but I mean, just in 5 years, David Blackburn will be your athletics director. You're going to have a new football coach, a new basketball coach. Who knows what it's going to look like?
Well, that's right. And the other thing is, Peyton Manning is going to be a part of that new Super Board. And what they're doing with this chancellor hire is real interesting. They might stay with the CMIT guy, because they need somebody who's going to be compliant and also has a sensitivity towards athletics. And that's good news. I'm going to write about that this week. That's good news. Here's my thing. If you don't hire David Blackburn, The night we played them in basketball, I reported on the show that he was getting a guy eligible, MP3. And I was told by friends of mine in the media, they're texting me going, "You were wrong about that." And I'm like, "Okay, I was wrong about that." But at 6:50 they release, or 6:30 they release that he got the kid eligible. I have people telling me all day they don't let people be eligible for that anymore. For grieving or sickness or whatever the way the term is the NCAA uses. I don't know the exact term. But David Blackburn was able to work the system to make that happen. We need somebody here that has some chutzpah, that has some, shall I say, testicular fortitude. Where Bino's from in his neighborhood, they call him Stones. We need somebody that will fight for us. I'm tired of getting walked over by this league.
Yeah. Last thing out the door, this is
yes
inconsequential, but I've hated our schedule.
Thank you,
for years.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And I really wish there was a way that, you know, either the Florida or Georgia game could be moved back, and we could move some of these earlier games up in the schedule.
Right.
That's just kind of a personal pet peeve of mine. Anyway, thanks, guys.
No, you're exactly right.
Thank you, MP.
I mean, look, tonight, here's a perfect example. I'm trying to watch a football game, like an interesting football game. Find me one. We are in the second to last week of the season. Bino, go ahead and grab your clicker right now and find me an interesting football game.
There's not one, Tony.
Because our league chose to abstain. Now, the Big 12, Bino, it's a 34-7 game. There's not much you can do about that, but it's number 9 versus number 14.
Yeah.
And, you know, Oklahoma's beating the hell out of them. They thought they were for real, whatever, okay. And that game's coming up on halftime. What about what our conference has done this weekend?
Well, I mean, Tony, you and I have talked about this for a number of years. When they went to 12 games, the SEC took the chicken hockey route. Whereas the Pac-12 decided to play 9 conference games and give their fans something worth watching, all the SEC did with a 12th game was plug a bunch of crap games into what's generally an open date, the next to last weekend of the year.
So people...
All they did was shove... something no one should have to pay to see in front of their rivalry game, and that's what they did.
865-200-5402. And if you had 9 conference games, Florida, as Eric just said, would have one more chance to lose. It'd be a lot more interesting, like it is in the league,
hey guys,
Russell, where they're
Florida.
Go ahead.
It's the difference in the two programs. Florida wins games they have to win to make it to Atlanta, and we lose games we have to win to make it to Atlanta. That's just the two programs right now. And what MP discussed, hey, as far as Butch Jones goes, I have no hopes that we're going to see any better than what we've already seen in his tenure. But I do not want the people that are in charge right now hiring our next football coach. Because if we waste 1 year next year with Butch Jones, that's better than wasting 4 with whatever crap they would bring in here. We need an athletic director that we can count on to evaluate this program and evaluate the candidates out there and make an investment and get the right guy in here.
You guys,
the people we have in place right now will not do that.
You guys all talk about special coaches, though, and it aggravates me because here's who's special. The guy at Michigan special, the guy at Ohio State special, and the guy at Alabama special. Other than that...
I didn't mention special, Tony. I said fitting for here. The right guy for here.
Jones fits for here, though.
No, he doesn't.
I'm the first guy that said there's only 5 special guys out there, if that many.
P.J. Fleck today, you know, I kind of got excited about him because he's, you know, he's in that Mac thing and all that.
Love that guy.
He is a walking
cliche.
Butch Jones.
Yeah,
because
I've studied him too. I've watched a lot of pieces.
Walking
on
cliche.
Him. He's big on the cliches.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys
are annoying as hell.
But he connects with people. He sounds like a human being. You can talk to him, and you're not talking to a robot.
Yeah.
He's got a humanity about him. He connects with people. And listen, I don't care about the stupid press conference, man. I don't care what the guy sounds like. Do you win or not? And he took over a program that nobody had ever heard of. It was 0-12, and he's got them in the freaking top 25 right now.
Oh, they had College Game Day today, and they had 1 million people.
You know, you say, oh, well, Butch Jones. Butch Jones followed Brian Kelly wherever he went, and he's done – this is actually his most impressive job, what he's done here at Tennessee, because he did have to clean up a legitimate mess. But if he's peaked, then he's peaked.
How do you guys know he's peaked?
I don't. And I'm telling you again, I'm still processing this, but you'd be foolish not to take a look around and you see – who's the next special guy? Is it P.J. Fleck? Is it Tom Herman? These guys are out there, and when you see your rivals, LSU, Texas, going out, loading up, and looking at these guys, you can't help but be a little bit jealous.
Back to the phone. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Welcome in. That's you. Let's try this again. Welcome in. Hello.
I'm sitting in the game, and there's this joker on his phone, you know, like, there's not much service. He yells out that LSU scored the touchdown and won the game.
He did what? Some joker like played a joke?
I don't know what he was doing. And then like half the stadium's going crazy. We start chanting LSU over and over. And then we find out it was like people look on the phones, it was a fumble at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, Tony, I sit in Z12.
Okay.
And the sections just to the left of me, that going toward A and B,
okay,
we're all cheering. And we thought that the guys in front of us' phone was just, we don't get real good internet service there, we thought their phone had reacted slowly and that LSU had scored.
That is, that's grounds for literally dragging somebody from the line and severely beating them.
Yeah, Tony, like, I jumped up. I thought we won the SEC East. You know, I've
that's a shame. Oh, man.
I've never seen Tennessee win the SEC East. I'm 13 years old.
Oh, you know? Man. You're young.
Where were you sitting today, young man? Where were you sitting?
I was sitting in Y6.
You saw it, Bino.
Okay.
You saw him. Bino saw you get sheared today, young man. Sheared immaculate.
Yeah. He saw the bullet coming.
Yep. He saw them take the Clippers and literally take your wool and take you down to, like, June length, young man.
Yeah, and my heart dropped. I couldn't believe it.
That poor kid got sheared. Some ignorant idiot yelled out that LSU won. Did you all know who did it? Do you realize who did it?
Trolled an entire section at Neyland Stadium.
I'm guessing that guy got out as fast as he could, because I would not want to stay there.
I would have clobbered him.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
There was obviously more than one person that did it, because the young man we're talking to sitting in Y6, which was to my right. To my left is where most of the cheering came from.
Wow.
Yeah, it was to the left of us. Like, they started cheering, and then, you know, people were yelling like LSU won the football game, but.
Bino, we talked about it all week. Young man, you'll appreciate this one day. I'm a Philadelphia sports fan, and then I came to Tennessee when I was a little older than you, 20. And I've been here ever since, and I'm 50 right now. Well, turning 50. I feel 90, but who cares? So, I've been punished and tortured and tormented. I told Bino when we were doing our show yesterday, I said, you know, LSU is going to lose tomorrow, and they're going to lose in, like, the worst way possible. They're going to fool around, fart around, and they're going to fumble balls, and they're going to do all kinds of moronic stuff, and they're just going to do the job. And that is, you know, since you didn't see the game, let me just tell you this right now. It was one of the dumbest. If I'm an LSU fan, and I had any hopes of Ed O or designs on making him my coach, it was one of the most poorly managed football games you'll ever watch. Poor Coach O. You'd have to try to lose that game the way they lost it today. So terrible. So heartbreaking.
I mean, it's hard to say this, but I got to give credit to Florida. They stopped people on the 1 yard line.
You better believe it. You better believe it. Hey, here's the difference between them and us. We got injured, and they became excuses. They got injured, and they went to LSU and won today. And that's a difference. That's a difference.
Right.
Thank you, my friend. And 2 years in a row, Florida took a team that wasn't as good as ours, and they're going to Atlanta. But Butch Jones said tonight that it wasn't a goal. Let's be fair to him. Did he say it wasn't a goal, Russell? How did he put it? And then we'll bring Eric Waddell in here.
He said they've never talked about it.
Bino, you believe that internally they never talked about it?
Tony, I've been with you long enough. I don't believe anything that any coach, anywhere, anytime says.
That's my impact on you.
Well, and if they haven't talked about it, maybe that's part of the problem. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to be, you know, all week long, oh, guys, I sure hope LSU wins this weekend, but the beginning of the season, and maybe you remind, you know, occasionally during the season of what your goals are, I mean, anybody in business or in life, you set goals for yourself, right? I want to do this. I want to win this. I want to achieve this.
Charlie Strong just got asked a question. That didn't take long.
Did he get the Kiffin treatment? I mean, did he even get back on the plane?
Guys, I think he was fired before the game started, and I believe that's the reason that you saw Kansas beat them. They knew going in that he was fired and Tom Herman was their football coach.
That was Davey Boy Hart's hire.
Poor Charlie Strong.
I want to point that out. And he would have been a worse fit here.
Oh, man.
For those of you that love Dave Hart, and there are some sheep in the media, and you know who you are, some of you need to get a room. Let me say this. Dave Hart has been a horrendous athletic director. Horrendous. Don't tell me about the money in the reserves. That's the SEC Network. And the fact that we have the best fan base in the world. It has nothing to do with Dave Hart. Dave Hart was
That track coach is getting it done, Tony.
That's the only thing he's done. Dave Hart was going to hire Charlie freaking Week, who's worse, way worse than this guy. He's a nightmare. Doesn't get along with anybody. That guy's a nightmare.
At least if Mike Gundy were here, our coach would have a mullet.
Then that'd be something. Let's bring Ewad in here, and then we'll go back to the phones. Ewad,
hey, Eric, come on into this happy-go-fun, lucky kind of
hour. Well, now, Eric Waddell kind of called us 5 years ago when we first hired Butch Jones. A guy was talking about you today on Twitter and said that the guy from the Cincinnati background told us that this was going to be kind of a long slog. Ewad.
But I did say that he'd be better than Charlie Strong, I think he won at Louisville simply because he happened to run into Bridgewater.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you have that guy as your quarterback, as an athlete, I mean, that can make almost anyone look brilliant. I got to tell you, I'm going to give kudos to every person who covers this team on a daily basis.
It's tough.
Because, and I know some of them are listening, you know, one of the reasons I come and I do this is because I like a lot of these people, and they've become friends over the years. But I would literally, I walked out of the stadium tonight thinking to myself, I would literally lose my mind. They would probably have me in Knox County Jail at some point because I would have snapped. I'm literally shaking. Let me ask you this. Okay, if you want to believe for just one half freaking second that you never discuss the East as your goal or as a goal, let me ask you this question. Then what the hell is wrong with you?
Thank you.
You guys know I'm usually kind of the calm one here, but I mean, I literally sat there. I almost fell out of my chair. And then he says something about, you know, our whole goal is to be 1-0 this week. Well, that's a laudable goal. I want to be 1-0 every week. That's great. But I just hate having someone sit up there.
Piss down your back and tell you it's raining.
Yeah, I mean, and again, the more scary thing would be if he's not lying to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you think that he honestly do you think he feels
misleading?
What's
lying's too strong.
Around?
I'll go with misleading. I'm gonna downgrade one notch.
Do you think he recognizes the vibes in the air, which are that?
Oh yeah. Are you kidding? As much as he hears everything, are you kidding me? You know how mad at him people are right now.
Well, how did he come across when he's saying this stuff? Is he defensive or is he just out to lunch?
He was asked I will say this. This was about as gentle a press conference for a team that I've ever seen that has given up 1,300 yards in two games. We've given up in excess of 1,300 yards in two games. And we're not in the WAC. It's defunct.
Back to the phones we go. Bino, you came and got Ewad all pissed off now. See what you did? Let's get our next call in. As I remind you, portions on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction presented by our friends at Citizens National Bank, where banking never felt so good. Proudly serving our communities, our 20th location just opened. www.cmbtn.com. Say it, know it, and write it on down. To our next caller, hello and welcome on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction, where there's one line available at 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome in.
Hey guys, this is Eric from Hendersonville.
Hey Eric, welcome in, man. Good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I wanted to kind of follow the ball here with Winston on everybody's mind so far in the show, where which is he there to make money for the athletic department, or is he there to win trophies and do things for the fans? I think that, you know, he made a big deal about these captains coming back and, you know, not going to the NFL. Did they come back for him personally, or did they come back because they love the school and they love the fans? And when you have the atmosphere that we had last year for Oklahoma and the Georgia game and the Florida game this year, these fans deserve better. So the way I look at it is, in the SEC, with all this money, Butch is making $4 million plus, and he certainly wouldn't be getting that if he was still in the Cincinnati's of the world. Okay, so people expect a little bit of return on investment for that. The fans certainly have a lot invested. But if you're not climbing the ladder, you're going to get stepped on if you hang around in the same spot for very long. You look at what happened last year with Ole Miss, and they had fourth and whatever that Arkansas pulled out of thin air. And when that play went for the first down and they lost the game, did they think, well, that's okay, we'll get it next year? No, they're battling for a bowl game, and they're losing to Vanderbilt at halftime right now. You got to strike while the iron is hot, and he is insulting the fans, and anybody with, I don't know, a pulse to basically say winning the East is not one of our goals. Come on.
Well, that's the thing. You know, look, somebody on Periscope and some Twitterers have made a great point about all the injuries, and we talked about that earlier. And Bino said earlier in the year that injuries went way past being an excuse a long time ago. What was your quote, Bino? It's a great quote that you had going into the Alabama game. We talked about it.
Well, at some point it goes beyond excuse making into just reality. And I don't ever remember a team in 50 plus years.
Yeah.
That has had this number of injuries, and even more than that, just the surgical precision of who it took out.
That said.
And when it took them out.
And you're right, but that said, what's left should never lose to South Carolina.
No.
We all agree. Look, South Carolina today struggled with Western Carolina. South Carolina got the hell beaten out of them by that Florida team that we killed.
Nobody else is losing to South Carolina.
That's
no,
the point.
No.
Kentucky smashed them.
You should never get to the point to where your defense can't stop a straight dive. If you can't stop a straight dive,
that's the point.
You're in big trouble.
Look, they gave up 31 points today to Western Carolina. And the truth is, Iwad, what were the numbers in the last 2 weeks of yardage?
In the last 2 weeks, we've given up over 1,300 yards. I don't know if Alabama's given up 1,300 yards all season.
Now, to our caller, and this is a great point you bring up, the fan base turns out 35,000 strong for the Vol walk. I mean, it is a sight to behold. Those kids that we brought to that tailgate, when they went over there and they saw that, and there were some people that were nice enough, they saw our group and they made room for them. There were people that literally saved room for these kids so they could experience that, and I'm forever indebted to them. That is a special thing. I mean, that gives me chills thinking about it. And, you know, it's real trite to get on here and say, well, we deserve better. Damn it, we deserve better. We deserve better. That guy's making $4.5 million a year. And he goes around talking about how he's not appreciated by people. And he's thin-skinned, and he listens to everything. He's probably listening to this right now. And the truth is, he reads everything. He calls the people that handle the stuff in print all the time. I mean, the guy's nuts. The guy's nuts. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
What I was going to say about continuing to climb, it's about momentum, and seizing the opportunity, because guess what? When they see that this is an 8-win team, the people out there in Georgia and Florida are going to say, we're going places. We represent the Eastern Division. And just like McElwain said last year when he pulled that miracle out, he says, we're not losing to Tennessee. They honestly believe that. When those guys got on the plane and went to LSU, they didn't go there to hand the Eastern Division to us. Now, I don't know how they did it, but they won the game on the field because they won it more than Meathead on the LSU sideline. And they get to, you know, they're going to be in representing Atlanta. They're probably going to get their butts kicked. But you know what? They're going to sell that to the recruits and said,
yeah,
even though we had all these starters out at LSU, we went down there and won. We didn't make excuses. We won the damn game.
Right.
And guess what? They're going to seize the recruiting momentum. And if Butch Jones does not get recruits, he hasn't shown that he's able to do it with his staff, where is the improvement going to come from?
Did you see what
Derek
else?
Derek Barnett is not coming back.
No, he's not. Let me ask you this. Did you guys see what happened at the beginning of the LSU-Florida game today? Have you all seen the clips of that?
Where
how
the,
they
the
tangled?
Back and forth. Yeah.
They tangled before the game. They actually had an incident before the game where the two benches came together.
Right.
Hey, let me tell you something. Say what you want to say about Florida, but they didn't go into that game the way we went into our last several games, which is to say, not ready to play. They were ready from the very beginning, and they drove as soon as they got the football, they took 6.5 minutes off the clock. Now, they didn't score, but they took 6.5 minutes off the clock and drove the football when nobody thought they could. I thought they wouldn't be able to get first downs today.
Oh,
I was shocked.
I mean, they went for
fourth down on the first possession of the game.
That's exactly right. They came out and they went after LSU over on the sidelines. They were like, guys, come on.
Oh, that's,
bring it on.
That incident pregame, that's why you can't hire Ed Orgeron, because you get that stupid knuckleheaded thugging out crap,
right?
And his team's not ready to play.
Right.
They're ready to fight, but they're not ready to play the game.
Right.
And that's been Orgeron's thing wherever he's been, including here.
Well, that's interesting. Interesting from Dubsy. Caller, thank you, brother. Great talking to you, my man. Where are you listening to us tonight, my man?
I'm just here at the house.
Oh, okay. And where's the house? Where are you at? Where are you?
Over in Hendersonville.
Hey, thanks.
We relocated from Lexington.
Thanks for being here.
I've listened to you for a while. We're going to the game next week. Maybe I'll get my dad to call in.
Thank you, brother.
The Ed from Nashville, yeah.
Hey, have you a great, safe trip, man. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
865-200-5402. What else, Eric, before we go back to the phones, came out that was interesting that came out of tonight's press gathering?
And here's the other side of the coin with Coach Jones. He gave one of the questions that was asked of him was regarding Josh Dobbs and what he meant to the program.
Yeah.
And he gave one of the most beautiful, eloquent answers that I've ever heard any coach talking about a young man, talking about his parents, talked about his recruiting visit back there that they spent nearly 5 hours in house together. And I thought to myself, my God, that was beautiful. And I thought, you know, if you would just connect with people on other issues like that. And I don't know why it's so hard for him, but that was one thing that struck me. I could see that's part of the makeup. That's part of the DNA there. I wish we would see that more often on a myriad of topics.
Does Butch do this on purpose? Some guy just said, is he trying to make us mad at him and not his players? Is he trying to urinate us off on purpose? Bino, is this all part of the grand experiment with him? Is that what he's doing?
No. Now, Tony, I think he defends it. I believe he covers for his players in certain situations. Mm-hmm. I think he covered for Jalen a little bit, which I commend him for. Mm-hmm. Some of that stuff is none of our business, to be quite honest. But no, for the most part, I think that he's just trying to convince people that we're over the top.
Back to the phone. No, you know, he believes that, though. That's the truth. He believes that. He believes that this place is over the top. But I would say to him, you ain't going to make $4.5 million at Cincinnati coaching football. That's just a reality.
The other thing that I heard from the players,
yeah.
I think that the defensive players actually appeared to be a little bit sheepish. They were glad that the team won. They almost, to a man, thanked the offense for essentially, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but bailing them out.
Yeah.
They know it's not acceptable. That doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. But it was good to see that. I think they were pretty clear that they had just not played well. I mean, there's no way around that. Again, the number is just staggering, what's happened in the last two games.
I was glad to see Kongbo, who's been through a lot, Russell. That was neat to see him score at the end of the game.
And that was fun in the press conference, too.
That's fun. That's good stuff.
Dobbs was talking about maybe getting him involved in a few tight end routes. You know,
there you go.
So I mean,
kid looked good with the ball.
As messed up as things are,
yeah, he can run. He can fly. Did you see him?
Well, I hope he gets his whatever's going on there. He's able to persevere and get through this season because there is a tremendous opportunity
here
for him at defensive end going into next year.
I mean, I thought you were going to say there's a tremendous opportunity because there's a FIFA tournament. I thought you were going to take a cheap shot at him.
That's not my style.
Let's go back to the phones, Gary. Next call in, 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome in.
Guys, what's going on? It's Dustin.
Hey, D.
Hey, fellas. You guys are talking about they never talked about it as a goal. Well, what are their goals? What were their goals coming in the season if they're not talking about winning or getting to Atlanta for the SEC champion? What are their goals? How stupid can you be? That's one of the most ridiculous things. This guy, he just can't get out of his own way. I mean, seriously, what were the goals if they didn't even talk about Atlanta or worried about getting to Atlanta? What were their goals that you guys know of?
It's nonsense, Dustin. That was obviously their goal. It's the goal of Tennessee each and every year. It's just not. It's more Butch Jones nonsense.
Coming from a Cubs fan here, and just excuses after excuses for many, many, many years, and it just gets to a point where you're just tired of hearing excuses. If this guy would just fall on the sword for himself, say, listen, guys, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, but he's not going to do that. But coming out, everything this guy says, it's like he's trying to explain to us. We don't know what we're talking about. We definitely don't know what we're seeing, and we definitely don't know enough to ask. And the ego on this guy to thank him, you know, we question and call him out for this crap. It's ridiculous. Like you said, Tony, he gets paid $4.5 million. Not to be friends with everybody, just do one thing. He's got to win. He's going to win. I mean, it's just the same thing, same song, different verse.
If you can't accurately identify your goals, how can you possibly be expected to achieve them?
But you guys don't believe that. Come on. You guys are working yourselves into a frenzy over something. Nobody here listening to us believes that he was doing anything tonight but deflecting.
He is so robotic.
No.
I don't know for sure, but it's entirely possible that he's brainwashed himself into actually believing the nonsense that comes out of his mouth.
I believe that. I absolutely believe that all the way. And I think it really speaks to what's going on over there, that he's losing more of his recruits than he is his coaches. His coaches ain't going anywhere, but these 4 and 5 stars, they keep dropping like flies everywhere, and yet we're talking about this guy maybe getting a raise and an extension. Are you kidding me? You know he's not going to make any moves. He's not going to do it. It's not going to happen. If he does, it's going to be some, you know, manager on the side end. You know, he didn't like his chart and graphics were not sabermetrics correct or something. It's not going to be any of the power positions, either defense or offense coordinator. We know he's not going to bring in a quarterback coach. And to think, you know, losing Dobbs, he's not the greatest quarterback we ever had. But, I mean, this was supposed to be here his year. I understand injuries. I get that. But next year, with coming back with different starters and most likely a freshman quarterback, it's only going to get worse. So I think it's time to, you know, maybe think about ripping that Band-Aid off because it's not going to get any better.
Now, come on. Thank you, Dave.
Tony, I'm sorry. I expect my teams to win. Not, you know, it's good for the program and all that. What's good for the program? 9-3, losing to crap South Carolina? I mean, he's not the guy. You guys know that. He was.
We don't know that. No, I don't. Yeah. I don't know that. I don't I'm not like really, really high on him, but there's a lot of things about him where he could win. I mean, he could still win. Not out of the realm of possibility.
I get your position. I understand it. I appreciate it. But if it's not going to happen this year, it's definitely not going to happen next year with the turnover of this team. It's just not. It's not. Guys, hang in there. Have a good show.
People are asking me right now a question I never want to answer, which is, who do you want to go get? I don't want to fire the coach. And then somebody said, well, what if he leaves on his own? What if he Conzo Martins us? Which is something that Jason Swain threw out a couple weeks ago on the radio, and then we talked about it one day, Bino, and he's right. This guy looks and feels like Conzo Martin right now. He does. He's Conzo Martin without a petition.
Yeah.
The way he carries on and the whole thing about him. And who do I want to go get? I don't want to answer that. I don't want to go down that road. But I know this. John Gruden owns lands in Jefferson City. And George Quarles is a great football coach. You were going to say Ewad.
I was going to say, I don't see any scenario other than him walking out the door, him going anywhere anytime soon. Look.
But he
had hyped ourselves up into thinking this was a team that was going to end up the season probably as the 4 seed, but in the playoffs.
No, that's right.
That, I'm sorry, from the beginning, I thought was never, ever real.
Some genius on Periscope and on Twitter just told me that Gruden's never coming here. You're kidding. Really? Now, you got that on good information, or... Read me the quote, Dubsy. Read me the quote. Hang on a second, Dubsy, before you do that. This was the quote we're talking about. Right, it's been a long one tonight.
There's a magic in the early morning.
Just a minute, pulling it up here.
All right, babe. Take your time, because we got to let the song play a little bit. Anytime you're ready, babe.
Quote, you never heard me talk about it, never heard the players talk about it, said Butch on people talking about winning the East as a goal. We just won 8 games. That hasn't been done here for a long time. We got a lot of critical individuals and mature competitors on this. Okay, I'm just making that part up. But he said the stuff about winning the East.
8 is enough, babe. Why would you say to your fan base, we're going to win 8 games? Why would you ever say that? Why would you ever say that? Why would that ever come out of your mouth here?
Because you're a damage control disaster. And that's what he is. He understands the goals here. Those were his goals, just like there are goals. He's a damage control disaster and a poor speaker.
I'm being told that we're overreacting. Are we overreacting? Maybe we are. I don't know. I enjoyed today's game.
Here's the thing. We've won our 8th game.
Yeah.
We're possibly going to take some next steps in the program, building Tennessee back.
Yeah.
We still can win 10 games, and we haven't done that in a very long time here.
Awesome.
As bloated of an opinion we have of ourselves, when's the last time we won 10 games?
Yep.
That's been a long time.
Sugar Bowl. So here we go, Sugar Bowl. Here we go.
We have a chance to maybe go to the Sugar Bowl, or at very least, someplace pretty nice. But
how's Vandy looking right now, Dobbsy?
I just don't understand why you don't say to your fan base, yes, I'm disappointed we didn't win the East, but these are our goals, is to move.
We didn't accomplish that goal. We owe you one. Why wouldn't you say that?
I mean...
We owe you
there's
one.
There's no downside to that.
There's no downside.
At this point, there's no downside. Because it doesn't. There's nothing that can change it. So you just say, I want to get our 9th win, and I want to go to a really good bowl somewhere with 45,000 Tennessee fans and get our 10th win.
Let's go to the next call in on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm 5th quarter fan reaction. Smart Way, ladies and gentlemen, they are 8416 Kingston Pike. You will check them out. Shout out to Vince today. Who was up in the big house, online at GoSmartWayTN.net, GoSmartWayTN.net. Next call, hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony, it's Roberto.
Hey, brother, welcome in.
you ask how is Vanderbilt doing. Vanderbilt's up 4 with the ball in, at the Ole Miss.
Yeah, I know. I'm watching. I'm watching the game.
Hit the jimmy drums, Hugh Freeze. Hit the jimmy drums.
There you go. We got to get some African music playing in here.
I don't have words to accurately describe how I felt sitting in the stadium. The kid who was talking about Y6, I apparently sit pretty close to him because that's the exact same thing. I mean, I sit in Y6 as well, and that's I heard that guy too. And then there's a guy sitting next to me. I got kind of fired up, and I look at the guy next to me who's on his cell phone because you couldn't get good, if you will, data reception in there. And he looks at me and he goes, "No, they're reviewing it," and he fumbled or something like that. And I was just, to be honest, guys, the first game I've left early in 8 years.
Why did you leave early? Why did you leave early?
I felt like everything we tried to achieve had kind of just fallen through our fingertips, kind of like Dub says. Now, according to our coach, all of our goals are still in front of us. But as a fan, I just was kind of like, wow, our season's kind of... So I left at halftime and happily went and had dinner with my wife, and we had a great evening and came back and got to finish watching the end of the game, and it was fun. And I'm proud of the kids for a win. It was nice to get a win on senior day. I wanted to be... I've been sick all week with stomach flu. My kids gave me stomach flu. And my wife had upper respiratory flu, and we went to the game because we had a friend who's... You know, the Folger kid who got all the accolades this week for his hilarious presser. His dad is a friend of mine, and I wanted to see him run through the tee the last time. And then, you know, 25 or 30 minutes later, I realized that SEC title game had slipped through our fingers. You know, and I would love to get on board with the sheepdom of going to the Sugar Bowl. I don't know if I can quite go there because I don't know if we're accurately depicting how they do the bowl selection anymore for that. Basically, guys, I think you have to be in the top 12 for that. Could be wrong, but I don't think there's any bowl tie-ins anymore, and the Sugar Bowl gets the first selections outside of the playoff game.
It's the highest. It's the second highest ranked team in the Southeastern Conference.
So you're saying there is still bowl tie-ins to that?
That's the criteria. It's the second highest ranked team in our league versus the top tie-in to the Big 12.
And by second highest, may I ask, do you mean in
rating?
The rating
in that system that they have. But well, here's
a really, really great chance that we're going to be that team.
Well, that's right, because LSU's already out. A&M's going to lose to LSU. If A&M beats LSU...
Even if they don't, they're like six or seven spots behind us right now.
Are they? Okay.
And they don't even have a quarterback. Yeah, they're ranked 25th. They don't even have a quarterback.
You know, I'm really... My concern is Vandy next week, to be honest with you, because... I think that's going to be a freaking dogfight.
Well, they win this game, and they'll be 5-6, so they'll be playing for bowl eligibility, and Tennessee's playing for nothing.
Well, no, Tennessee's playing for a possible chance to play in the Sugar Bowl, which would be very special. I mean, you guys can poo-poo that.
It's not like playing for a trip to Atlanta.
All right, okay.
I mean, New Orleans is a fun
Let's
town.
Let's go have a protest, sure. Man.
I'm not saying a protest. I'm just pointing out that Vandy has the motivational edge in that situation.
Vandy just scored a touchdown. Old Tasty Freeze is getting run out.
Like the African prayer candles.
Tasty Freeze is getting beaten. Radio's getting a raise. What do you think, guys?
It's a crazy night on the radio, except we're not on it.
And like I said, I don't leave games early, so I was pretty depressed to leave a game early. But I'm very happy for the kids. They played really, really hard tonight. Guys, we found the running back of the future. There's no question about that. John Kelly is very special.
Byron 865 just said, Florida is not my Eastern Division champ. In honor of the snowflakes, I'm going to carry that on. They are not my champion. They are not my champion. That is the tweet of the night. They are not my champion. He should say that Monday.
Bush should just take his team down to Atlanta, just show up and be like,
"Yes, outside and protest,
Alabama.
We beat them."
Does this mean we get to go burn down Portland now?
We need to march tonight. The only thing that separates us and Florida, aside from a head coach that manages games, is that we played Alabama and they played LSU. Well,
Tennessee won the popular vote.
That's the only
reason Florida's going is because they won the Electoral College.
And that's what the kids at Missouri tonight are saying, because they had more yards than us. Damn it. The world's not fair.
Guys, we could just call up Missouri. They know how to. They know how to stage a protest.
Yeah, they know how to kill a program. They know how to kill a. The only thing missing from their whole deal was Dave Hart up there murdering their program. He'd have been perfect. In the middle. Hey, thanks for the call. Good talking to you. That's some funny stuff. Bino, does Vandy scare you? And then we'll go back to the phones.
Oh, absolutely, Tony, because they're the first team we've played since South Carolina that can take Josh out of our offense running the football.
Performance Medicine top performer of the game as voted on by a panel of experts. I will not drink to that. Or maybe I will, or maybe I won't, but it's interesting. Nonetheless,
it's time for the Performance Medicine Top Performer of the Game, presented by Performance Medicine. Perform at the top of your game with Performance Medicine. You can find it online at performancemedicine.net. And now, here's the Performance Medicine Top Performer of the Game.
All right, Bino, tell the living listener, who's the Performance Medicine Top Performer of the Game? Bino!
Well, let's see. We've already given Josh the Moosehead player of the game, so this one will go to Juwan Jennings.
Juwan Jennings for his...
two touchdown catches and for not allowing them to bully one of his teammates.
That was one
I'd rather us get a 15-yard penalty along with them as to stand back and let them brutalize one of our teammates and not retaliate in some way.
You know what I was really concerned about with him was tonight... Was he going to, because here's another thing that happens to us. The thing I was thinking is he was going to get a third man in like they do in hockey and get a game misconduct, and they were going to throw him out of the game for being the third man in. Because he not only went into that pile and was protecting his teammate, he was throwing some punches. Dubsy, I love that. I love what Bino's saying right there. Juwan Jennings is your Performance Medicine top performer of the game. Perform at your top level with performancemedicine.net and get out of the medical rat race. These people don't even take insurance. You pay a fee. You pay a few. You go see the doctor. They do business with you like it used to be. In the old days. It's beautiful. Dr. Tom Rogers. Yoshihiko. I love it. Russell, I was so afraid, and Eric, I was so afraid that the SEC, one of those refs, was going to catch him and throw him out of that game. Thank God they only did what they did.
Well, that would have been par for the course.
That's what I'm saying. That's usually how it works around here.
That game was so weird. I mean, I just, you know, Tennessee's offense played well, obviously,
right,
and Butch had his team, and he deserves credit for having his team ready to go and being able to win, even though they clearly knew the results of the game in Baton Rouge, and they won the game anyway. But I got to tell you, from a fan's perspective,
yeah,
that really sucked the life out of that game.
Sure,
as far
did.
As I didn't even watch. I was watching the LSU Florida game, so I didn't even.
Everybody
flip
did.
On until
everybody was. Whenever. Everybody that was watching television watched the LSU game. I don't care what
and,
they said.
And even when, after that game was over and you flip over to see Tennessee and Missouri, it took a good hour or so to kind of get into the. And I never really got into the Tennessee game just because it felt so hollow.
Do you guys buy what Butch Jones told Samantha, not Samantha Steele, who is it that does CBS? Tracy Wolf.
Allie LaForce.
Allie LaForce. She asked him the first thing, and that girl right there is not afraid to ask questions. She's a wispy little thing. She's not afraid to ask questions. She said to Butch Jones, she said, what is the impact, or no, what is your response to Florida winning the East at halftime? And he said, you're the first person that told me about it. I didn't even know about it till now.
I mean, it's just a lie. It's
either. Do you buy that, Eric? Do you buy you could be in that stadium and not know about it?
I find that difficult to believe.
If he's not lying, then how completely out of touch is he? I mean, that's almost more alarming than a lie, because everybody knows it. His players know it.
This is the guy that hears the fans, Bo. This is the guy that hears the fans, Bo. He listens to everything. He's got his antennae up at all times. The guy's got more sensors on him than a praying mantis. And he wants me to believe that he didn't know. Bino, do you believe he didn't know the score?
Tony, every time Butch Jones speaks to the media, polygraph machines go off all over the state.
Somebody just said he was focused on his defense, Bino.
There are all kinds of people in jail because of his press conferences.
Maybe he didn't know.
I mean, it's laudable that he's saying that, and
it's
the
not
reason
his goal.
That he's concentrating on what his team is doing.
Or not doing.
But I just have a hard time believing a real-world competitor doesn't want to know something that is directly affecting you and your team's future.
Did he really say after the game that it's not their goal? What the hell? You people made it our goal.
But here's
not my goal to win the division.
Here's the thing real quickly about that. About the
March to Atlanta.
Is we're moving the goalposts here. That's not a goal before the season. Nobody was talking about that.
We need to march to
Everybody's
Atlanta.
Talking about Atlanta.
Not my champion.
The East.
Nobody's my
talking
champion.
About the Sugar Bowl.
Not my champion. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
You talking to me?
Yeah, please. Get on in here.
Yeah, I heard the beep way before you took me. But anyway, Ole Miss just fumbled it. And a good linebacker, number 41, just picked it up. So Vanderbilt's got it back again.
Vandy's beating Ole Miss like a jimmy drum.
Yeah, that guy's unbelievable. Let me ask, first of all, this is Greg down in Columbia, Tennessee. You guys doing okay?
Go right ahead, brother. Go right ahead. Go for it.
Hey, I wanted to ask, first of all, when did the majority of the people start leaving the stadium tonight? Was it after they announced LSU had lost?
That's a great question. Bino, when did the majority of the people start doing it?
No, halftime was when you really noticed that you had lost a big portion of the crowd. I really think it had more to do with it getting cooler and the length of the game and our defense making it just about impossible to watch than it did.
Yeah.
Than it did Florida beating LSU.
Okay. I was wondering that. They showed above shot of the stadium and it looked, you know, like it's half empty. I went, gosh. Last damn game for the seniors and these so-called Vol fans leave. I don't get it. They can give me the tickets. I'll be glad to go and stay throughout the game. That's the reason why I go to a football game. I don't go to leave before it's over with. So I just want to throw that part out.
Hey, Greg, I tell you what. I tell you, I no longer get on fans for leaving early. Between the lack of defense in games and CBS, and every time you look out there, Eddie Powers is standing out there at the 20-yard line with a purple jacket on, holding up play. Game's going 4 hours. I don't blame people in the least for getting the heck out of there.
Well,
it's just
about
impossible to enjoy in the stadium these days.
Yeah, I've been there, done that, and I know before I go, a televised game on CBS is going to be that way. I mean, that's a given thing. You know that before you go. But anyway, my second question is...
recently became 4 hours, though.
Yeah, I agree. My second question is, I heard earlier while I was listening to the show that during the press conference, he got all these softball toss questions. Why is that happening? Are these reporters afraid they'll piss somebody off at UT and not be allowed back in?
Eric,
you're going to pin this one on me, huh?
Well, I mean, he's asking a question.
I think that probably there are a high percentage of reporters that are careful with what they ask because...
You got a job to do.
you have a job to do, but you also
got
to
get information.
This is also true.
And
Larry,
he's been in that
business a long time over there, though, Eric. It's never changed.
No.
When Tony allowed me to go over there and do some practices, and people walked around Fulmer with like they were absolutely on eggshells. It's never been different here.
Crying shame. I've got one thing I want to say. Any UT alumni, any UT folks that are listening to the Tony Show, I appreciate this show. It's fantastic. I finally get a good insight on UT sports that I haven't been getting from the regular media. But people need to realize, Coach Jones, if you're listening, any of the coaches,